Friday, July the 3rd. I slept until 9, Linda and I, in our own bed at the ranch. This is the month the lark arises in my heart. July is a month of joy because you shuffle off the coils of obligation and feel like a free spirit. Linda and I had breakfast in bed, and then I read The Accident by Elizabeth Janeway. Excellent book. Then I wandered around over the yard where the yellow, orange, white, persimmon, melon-colored zinnias are prettier than I've ever seen them before. One peahen has two little chicks, and another has three. And the peacock's tail has at last grown long and handsome. His favorite habitat is the chimney, either chimney. Gets up there and screams, "Help!" And the noise comes down the flue in a most frightening fashion. While I was out in a bathing suit in a hammock by the pool getting some sun, Lyndon went off with A.W. I can't imagine anything I'd rather have him do, except that I would have wanted to be right by him if I'd known he was going. We had hamburgers for a late lunch, and Linda Bird came in from Washington accompanied by Dave Lefevre. And then in the middle of the afternoon, we left for the big adventure in a helicopter. Lyndon, Linda, Jewel Malachek, A.W., Dave and I. We went over to the Nicholson, where we landed and then proceeded by car to Mary Margaret's house on the banks of the lake. And Earl and Wheezy Deep met us there with a big boat, the first time we've seen it. A comfortable boat that will sleep four and carry some 16 or more pleasantly. We'd called Jesse and asked him to bring some of our favorite friends out to go boat riding and to join us for dinner at the Haywood. He had asked the Tom Millers. Tom grows more like his father every year. The young McCrummins, the Billy Baileys, Mary Love still as gentle and velvet and pretty as ever, and the Jack McGuires, who interest me particularly because of his close association with the university. We all rendezvoused at Mary Margaret's along with Jesse, and I was so happy to see that Jesse seemed a little less pale and thin and silent, almost as though he were coming back from the land of sadness. We all got on the boat, some up front, lying on that wonderful pad where you can just lie down and look at the sky, some sitting on the front end, and several of us in the rear, where there are two long upholstered seats. We rode down to the dam of Wirtz Lake. Only one man's lifetime between a dream and this wonderful fruition. How glad I am. It's one of the things I like best about Lyndon, that he got this dam and this lake named after Senator Wirtz, who thought of the whole great complex and worked so many years for it. Later, we went back to pick up Mary Allen at Mary Margaret's, and I jumped off the boat and swam along the point. But the waves were a bit high and choppy, and the traffic and water skiers a bit thick. Though it wasn't idyllic, it was good exercise. Vicky water skied, and so did Linda Bird, staying up a long time and doing a very competent job. Suddenly, somebody pointed out a boat in which two men were apparently using a camera. It kept on following us. Lyndon dispatched Ruth to see if he could get them to cease and desist and hopefully to give us the film. Later, when he returned, he told us it was a man from the Associated Press, one from Life. They had gotten some pictures. They would not return the film. And actually, of course, he had no legal right to demand it. It's a great big body of water. How can you enforce privacy? But they did promise to talk to George before they released it. So that sullied the day a bit, the glistening freshness and the freedom of the day. But not too much. We returned to Mary Margaret's and got in cars and drove over to the point where we owned some lots, walking out to see how the lake is washing at the precious land, and then on over to the Haywood to have a delicious catfish dinner on the brick patio under the live oak trees, looking down on the lake while the sunset faded and the sky gradually paled and the lights came on up and down the lake. I talked with Jack McGuire about the university, its big collection of manuscripts, the original plays of Tennessee Williams and Arthur Miller, and many others that you wouldn't think would belong to the University of Texas, the Texana Project, their seminars at Eagle Rock, Dude Ranch, where in the summer they teach refresher courses to all sorts of professional people. the pharmacist had just been out a short while before. He gave us a manuscript of A President's Country, a booklet the Ex-Students Association is going to get out. It's on the hill country of Texas. Its geology, its Indian background over the last 7,000 or so years, its flora and fauna, its architecture. I read it over the next day or two and found it high in quality, but I hoped they would delete the chapter on a personal visit to the LBJ Ranch. And then after we'd eaten the last piece of fried fish that anybody could, washed down with the last hot coffee, we said goodnight and helicoptered to the ranch. And then in the golf cart, Lyndon said, "Who wants to go down and see Oreo?" "I'm glad," I said. "Yes, some of these days I'll be glad of every time I went to see Oreo, because we're about the only brightness in her life." We drove down and he hollered at the front door until he woke her up. And then we sat down and listened to all the vital statistics of the community, the births, deaths, and marriages, the quarrels, the parties, and all the family news. And then long before she was ready to have us leave, we rose up en masse, kissed her goodbye, and left. It was the end of a perfect day. Not many of these happen. And let's feel them and savor them when they come. No sky anywhere where the stars shine so brightly. No sense of freedom so perfect or of belonging so deep as right here.